This is KVNF's regional newscast for Friday, July 23rd. I'm Gavin Dahl. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention investigated elder care facilities in the Grand Junction area, as many staff are not vaccinated and believed to be bringing COVID-19 to work. The Colorado Sun reports the CDC conducted its investigation of Delta variant outbreaks in elder care facilities in Mesa County in May and June. The area is a coronavirus hotspot. At one location, 42% of the staff were still not fully vaccinated, far below the national average. Nursing home residents represent an estimated 1% of the U.S. population, but they account for about 22% of COVID-19 deaths. Staff are one of the main triggers of nursing home outbreaks because workers may unwittingly bring the virus in from the surrounding community before developing symptoms. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says that in areas with low vaccination rates, more than 99% of COVID deaths over the past 6 months have been among unvaccinated people. A public input session on Wednesday in Montrose on the reintroduction of gray wolves to Colorado drew a crowd. Colorado Parks and Wildlife heard from members of the public concerned about compensation for livestock producers who lose herds to predation and others who worried about hunting and its related economy. But the Montrose Press reports not all who spoke were afraid of wolves. Some pointed to studies showing a reintroduction sparked an overall improvement of ecosystems. Voters in Colorado passed Proposition 114 in the last election, requiring CPW to restore and manage gray wolves by the end of 2023. Reintroduction of the species, which was eradicated from Colorado way back in the 1940s, is to occur on the Western Slope. Prop 114 also requires hearings on scientific, economic, and social considerations to obtain public input and to use state funds to compensate livestock owners for losses. More info on the CPW plan can be found at wolfengagementco.org. For the third time in 3 years, the Colorado Water Trust, in partnership with the Orchard Mesa Irrigation District and Grand Valley Water Users Association, is buying 1,200 acre feet, or 391 million gallons of water, out of the Rudi Reservoir to offset low stream flow in the Colorado River. The river is flowing about 1/6 of normal in Palisade at 220 cubic feet per second. This endangers fish recovery through the 15-mile stretch of the Colorado that begins east of Grand Junction and ends at the Gunnison River. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports other purchase partners include Colorado River District, Town of Palisade, and the Bureau of Reclamation. And School District 51 in Grand Junction hired a new director of equity and inclusion in a special meeting Wednesday evening. Tracy Gallegos worked in Aurora Public Schools before moving to District 51. He also previously worked in Mesa County as assistant principal at West Middle School and for the Migrant Education Program. The new position is focused on helping students who've traditionally underperformed. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports the posting of the job drew concern from a group of parents and adults who view the job title as code words for Marxism and communism, an accusation the district denies. Families in Colorado are already benefiting from advanced child tax credit payments, and advocates for children and families are urging Congress to make them permanent. Lily Bolke from Colorado News Connection has this update.
Between 20% and a quarter of Colorado households report struggling to pay usual household expenses. Holly Baumkrutz lives in Boulder and has two children. She says these monthly payments at $250 for each child per month are a game changer. Both she and her husband work, but she says they cannot afford health insurance for their kids. She notes it would be $1,700 a month, and that's out of budget for their family.
The $500 this month is actually going to take them to the dentist, get a good cleaning, get x-rays done, and then the future $500 will go for maintenance. So for us, it's kind of life-changing.
Baumkrutz adds that preventative medical and dental care is a necessity, and she thinks it's a sign there's something wrong with our economy if it takes an extra $500 stipend just to fulfill basic needs. Census Bureau surveys find that, nationally, more Black and Latino families are struggling to pay household expenses than our white families. I'm Lily Bolke reporting.
The Paradise Theater in Paonia is back to screening documentaries on Mondays. On July 26th, the film is a 7-year artistic documentary project by a Paonia filmmaker. Kate Redmond reports.
Taya Cranson is a filmmaker and co-founder of the Resolute Road Production Company. She grew up in the North Fork Valley and has her premiere with her first feature-length film at the Paradise Theater in Paonia on Monday. She came into the studio to talk about her film and her artistic process, and also about how different it is to produce a feature-length film beyond the short films she had been doing, including with logistics.
I'd never done any project from start to finish this big, but also like learning how to do fundraising, learning how to do logistical preparation, such as like making sure we have all the paperwork so that we're legally covered, and how to hire someone to do music. Post-production is kind of a whole other animal when you're doing it at this scale, and how to get somebody to put the film on a platform is kind of what we're working on now, and it's definitely a whole other world than just short films.
The pandemic and resultant shutdowns were a setback.
Last year, we had officially finished the film and we submitted it to, I think, over 20 film festivals right before COVID hit, which was a bummer. And so all of the money we had put aside and raised for film festivals, we have already spent. So right now we're just trying to look for distribution. I think we might do sort of like a film tour, like a band would tour, but with the film instead.
I asked Cranson what were her favorite parts of shooting this film, which at root is about relationships.
Two things where you get to sit in really sacred spaces with people as they share intimate stories of their relationships and really get to know people's hearts and their stories, which is why I became a filmmaker in the first place. My other favorite part was the growth that happened in me through the whole journey. I did it with one of my best friends, and her and I had to learn a lot about communication, about seeing where we had breakdowns and where we had a really bonding experience.
Taya Cranson grew up in Paonia at the beloved trading post. She drew inspiration from her parents, from the farm, and from the freedom and the boredom of growing up rurally.
Growing up free and barefooted and on the farm with the Paonia style was hugely influential for me. I had to be creative in order to have fun. In order to not be bored, I had to get creative. So a friend and I bought a camera in high school and started shooting.
Cranson was educated at the Vision Charter Academy, which fostered her passion and helped her with tools.
They helped me purchase the first camera that I shot some of my first stuff on. And right after high school was the first Paonia Film Festival. And we made a short film, 15-minute long film, and we won. And I saw that I could create art that impacted people, and I was hooked from then on. It's really cool to have it start there, the inspiration, and kind of launch out and then be coming back. It's almost like a thank you to the Paonia culture that was so supportive.
Where We Belong screens on Monday at 7 p.m. at the Paradise Theater in Paonia with a Q&A with the filmmakers afterwards. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Friday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.